Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. We begin the season of Lent, and how appropriate that we hear Jesus teaching us, you know, to give alms and to do things out of love for your neighbor. And he says to us tonight, whenever you pray, how do you pray? Do you guys pray like before you eat dinner or first thing in the morning? You pray in church. When do you pray? Do you pray when you see a robin singing? You say, thank you, God, spring's coming soon. Or when you see the little daffodil shoots coming up outside in front of the church. Oh, that's beautiful. When do you pray? Jesus said tonight, when you pray, he assumed that any disciple, you and me, would be people of prayer. So, what is prayer? Prayer is relationship with God. Our primary relationship in our lives. First commandment, God says, I am the Lord your God. We pray to God that the main source of our lives, our families, our world, and one of the reasons the church celebrates Lent, as we put the ashes on tonight, is to look at our relationship with God and to pray that that relationship can be strengthened and to repent and turn back to God and to pray that God will take anything that gets in the way of loving God with all of our hearts and mind and soul and strength and our neighbor as ourselves, to get rid of that and to be strengthened in doing precisely what God calls us to in Jesus Christ. And to pray that God will help remove everything that gets in the way of that. To live centered in Christ. Centered in Christ in all that we do. That's why one of the reasons starting next Wednesday we're going to be studying and praying and discussing a book called The Centered Life. With all the distractions we have from all the media coming at us and all the things that happen in our lives, how in all of this can we be centered in Christ? And prayer is a key to that. Jesus intends us to pray with Christ in his name to God. For prayer, we are relating specifically to the God who wants our total allegiance. He doesn't want us just on an hour on Sunday. He loves it when we do that. But he wants us 24/7, total allegiance, calling us to love him with all that we are. You know, a relationship becomes meaningful the moment we begin to single out that person. You know, Joan, that's my wife. John, that's my friend. Don, that's the awesome minister of music we have here. I'm glad you're here tonight. When you can point out in the crowd the specific person and say, yeah, that's my spouse, and he's a wonderful guy or gal. She's the one that makes the great tort or the great apple strudel or whatever that is. You know, then that person becomes specific. And God becomes our God when we can know God and point God out. I mean, not the remote God. We can say, you know, God Almighty, Creator, and all this. But to know God specifically in our lives, to point God out. As we read in Psalm 63, you, God, the psalmist says, oh God, you are my God. You. Among all the other pretenders to the throne, you are my God. In Germany, you know, when you're formal with somebody, you'll say like, wie heißen Sie, Sie, Sie. It's like that formal thing. But if you become friends with a person and build that relationship, you become a du. A du. That means that you're special to the person. That's why we don't sing Sie, Licks mir in Herz. No, it's du. You know, you are in my heart. You I love. And that relationship, that closeness. It's like what you call your mate, like my darling, my sweetheart. Or my good friend, I don't know what I'd do without you. You know, that those words of endearment become something special. Listen again to the psalmist in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. That God is your refuge. God is your fortress. My God in whom I trust. The point is that prayer is reaching its height when we name God in our experience. That God is real to us, that God is here in our midst with us tonight and tomorrow and the next day, wherever we are, in church or not in church. Oh God, you are my joy. Oh God, you are my rock. Oh God, you are my shepherd. Oh God, you are my beautiful Savior. That kind of intimacy, relationship with God, that makes strong prayer. Some people can only name God as a judge, because they don't have the blessing of a loving relationship where it's unconditional love, where you could do that better. Why'd you do that? Who do you think you are? You know, we even get that, they project onto Santa Claus, right? He's making a list, checking it twice, trying to find who's naughty or nice, you know, judgment. Or God will get you. Or if something bad happens to you, God's punishing you. No. That's not the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one he called Abba Father. That's not the God that Jesus called Daddy, Papa. That's not that God. So God's name, how we name God, how we approach God, it's the way our relationship is with God. If we call God like our friend, like we sing that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. I was still at St. John's Highland, my first call, and I went down to a retreat, and Father Mark Gibbert was at the retreat master that was visiting from the Anglican Church, the Church of England, at Gettysburg Seminary. And this happened like almost 40 years ago, but I remember it like yesterday. And the question he'd asked me is, Fred, how's your friendship with Jesus getting on? Your friendship with Jesus. You know, above and beyond the theology and the Bible study, that's all good. But personally, how's your friendship going? And included in Father Mark's question was the statement, a belief that prayer is a relationship between you and your best friend, your most intimate friend, Jesus Christ. You see, that kind of relationship is not a casual relationship. It's very deliberate. If Jesus is your best friend, then you want to spend time with Jesus. You want to hang out with Jesus. You want to get to know Jesus. And Lent's a great time to renew that relationship. Maybe take a section of one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read it slowly and see what Jesus is saying to you. Or if Jesus is healing, put yourself in that story. Outside of the dusty roads, walking with Jesus, and you see the paraplegic or whatever, and he needs to be healed, and you're there, and what does Jesus do? And what are the sights? What are the smells? What's it like there for you? To take time to pray, to make prayer time in your daily lives, specific time where you can maybe read a devotional. We have new devotionals back there. We'll take one when you're leaving, sacrifice and salvation. But looking at how you can encourage that relationship that you have with God that already has a relationship with you. And to look at how you can learn, like St. Paul says, pray constantly, pray without ceasing. It might be learning a new way of praying. There's the prayer breath, like some people will pray the prayer of the sinner, my Lord and my God, like, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God, as you're breathing. Or like our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters, the Jesus prayer, you could practice that in Lent. My Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and do that as they breathe. In fact, eventually they say that over and over again until they don't even think it. It becomes, in their unconscious mind, it becomes like their next heartbeat is the prayer of Jesus in their lives. And a prayer enables that kind of relationship to happen, to be experienced within the kind of relationship as in a good friendship. And in this relationship, you don't have to pretend. You can take off the mask. You can be yourself. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to have pretenses. You don't have to play games. Just be yourself. For you know that you are loved for Jesus' sake, that you are saved for Jesus' sake. And you'll be helped to become more and more who you are created to be, to become more like Jesus. Your light side and your dark side. I remember in 1988, I had my first retreat. I was at the Cynical Sisters on Fifth Avenue, right across from public broadcasting. Was Mr. Roger, what was that? And it was a silent retreat. And Sister Judith was praying with me and counseling me, a spiritual direction with me. And she said, God loves you. I said, well, I know he loves me, but there's parts of me God can't love that much. And she made it clear to me that God loved my light side as well as my shadow side, my dark side. And when I heard that, I cried like a baby. It just touched me that God's grace was that big. And it was a healing in it, and I grew in understanding how much God loves me and how much then I can share that love and try to understand other people who also have light and dark sides. Yes, as we have come to know God and Jesus, we can experience him as our most intimate friend, as a father, our Abba, our daddy, our papa. And if that doesn't work for you, then your mama or your auntie or whatever word works for you, that kind of loving relationship. This brings us to the next rich word, father. The very word itself speaks of a relationship. In Jesus' day, when the Jewish people pray, they'd be Almighty, Creator, Yahweh, Elohim. But Jesus was very intimate with God. He said, Abba. He prayed to his daddy in heaven. And it's the name that he prayed is from the Aramaic, Abba, from the word Abwun in Aramaic, Abwun. And Abwun basically means the loving, creative energy, spirit that makes us be, that makes all life and is good. Some persons have difficulty with, like I said, with father or an image of God as father. Well, then use another name, because God is spirit. He's not male or female. So if that works for you, like I said, use mommy, auntie, dear uncle, knowing that God is far more than that person has ever been to you. But that, if it helps you, use it. Use it. Lutheran Catechism said, when you pray our Father, it's like thinking of a loving mother, father, whatever, and you're like a child, and you jump in your daddy or mommy or aunt or uncle's lap, and you just can't wait to be with that. And that person hugs you and loves you. That's what it means. That's what it means. In one of her writings, Margaret Gunther, an Anglican teacher and spiritual director and theologian, put it this way. Prayer is the ceaseless flow of love from the heart of the Almighty Eternal God into your heart, answered by the little trickle of love from your heart that hesitates and flounders and it strives to respond. But she goes on to say that your soul, as it trusts more in God's almighty love coming into you, will open. And you can receive more of that grace. And then the soul opens. You can receive more of that grace. And it opens, you can receive more of that grace. Become more and more graceful person. Margaret Gunther then goes on to respond to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. It believes that the relationship of prayer began even before we were born. As St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, He, God, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before the Big Bang, you were in God's mind. You were in God's heart. You were in God to be born and to live in this time, in this place, for God's purpose. She writes, that was when you and God first knew each other. That was when prayer was born in you. It is there. It is in you. It beats like the beat of your heart. Without it, you die. If it sleeps in you, you have only to awaken it. Awaken it, like you are right now. Awaken it, like the season of Lent was made for the church to help that happen. Therefore, if the relationship between you and God is to deepen, and if prayer is already within you to be awakened so that it becomes alive and vibrant, then these 40 days is what we need to set time aside to be quiet and still and alone at times. Find that place in your house, at your work, in your backyard, wherever, that you can spend time with God. In the early church, the monks took their cues from the Jewish prayer. Midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 9 o'clock, midnight. Those were times of prayer. Now, I don't belong to a monastery, so I don't use those hours. But I try to have, Joan and I, the best time for us is morning prayer, first thing in the morning. Because we know that, oh, we're too busy, we'll get to it in the afternoon. We never do. But morning prayer works for us, and then for me, taking time in the afternoon to pray, and then before I go to bed. You know, but what works for you? Those holy habits that maybe you're already doing, but maybe ones you can develop during Lent. In other words, you will need to pray, to pray. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said, whether you like it or not, read the Bible and pray daily. It is your life. There is no other way. Do justice to your soul. Give it time and means to grow. Do not starve yourself any longer. Pray. And when you pray, sometimes that prayer goes into your dreams. And pay attention to pray your dreams. I know I was praying once and I went to bed and I slept and all of a sudden this wise figure came to me and he said, Fred, there is only one law, and that law is the law of love. And love will burn away all impurities. And the other night I was telling my wife, Joan, I had a prayer where it was my dad and myself. My dad's in heaven now. And in this prayer, in this dream, I felt that I can't be too strong and assertive because it's going to take away from my father. If I became stronger, he'd become weaker. And I prayed this to God. And God said, no, that's not true. My grace is sufficient for you. And as I prayed the dream, the reality came to me is that my dad could be as strong as he could. I can be as strong. We can all be as strong as we can in God's grace. And that was healing for me. So don't just think about it. Don't just read about it. Pray. These 40 days, take time to pray. Let's do it right now. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Abba, Daddy, friend, Mommy, God, your name is like music to our ears, full of wonderful meaning, generating good feelings of love and warmth, acceptance and protection, bringing to mind how you care for us. We ask you to guide and direct our hesitant steps, and yet to leave us free to take risks and to make mistakes. It is a wonderful relationship that you have established with us at our baptism, and continue to renew for us at your Son's table and daily through prayer. During this Lenten season, we pray that you will help us take time daily to be with you, to treasure that time, to know that that time is holy. We pray that you cause our eyes and ears, our minds and hearts to be open to your word, that we might grow in our understanding of your love, of what it means to be a child of God, to be your disciple, what it means to be in relationship with you, in the name of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to love you with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray this, dear Lord, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.